Good afternoon, good night, good day, wherever you are. This is Unleashed Unapologetically with your coach, Nadege. And yes, this evening we have the beautiful Lynn Power with us. She is going to tell us many things that we need to know in our business life. But before we go in, you know, we are here to help you relocate, repurpose, and refocus your mindset. Of course, you want to reset, relocate, and refocus your mindset in order for you to build your confidence. As your confidence coach and your personal development coach, I am here to help you do that without burnout. So we are here to talk to you about ways that you can grow into your business, into your brand, and transform yourself. And who knows best about it but Lynn, right? She'll tell you everything, anything you need to know when you are transforming your organization. So let's just go over a bit of what she does and why she does it. She loves success. She loves to talk about success. And she's going to tell you about that as well. But the starter, it didn't start that way. We all know that in life, whatever we do, for us to be successful where we are, we had to start at some point. So she spent much more of her time, 30 years in her career, running transforming agency, actually, their brands. And she actually is an expert in transforming organizations from top to bottom. Whew. Why not? Especially in leadership, right, Lynn? We know how important that is. And we know that when we're trying to structure an organization, we need to start from the bottom, from the top to the bottom. And if the top is not settled and it's not structured, it can help the bottom to just go flat, right? So she is going to tell you all about that. She's going to tell you why she really like and respect the nurture of building ideas, and also understanding that anything we do, we can always eliminate any barriers, any obstacles that come our way, as long as we believe in what we do. So Lynn, I'm a talker, but I'm gonna let you talk just so you can really tell us all about your organization, your company, Masami, and tell us what got you to start the whole company, Masami. So welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm great. Thank you. And that was just such a lovely introduction. I just have to give you big kudos and props for that, because you called me beautiful like in the first minute. And I was like, thank you. That's lovely.
Absolutely.
So I will share a little bit about our journey and certainly lessons learned along the way. Most important, right, of what people want to hear, because I have many, many, many lessons. Certainly failures to learn from and successes, hopefully, to continue. So mm-hmm. I spent my long career, 30 years, in the advertising industry. And when I started, it was, oh gosh, I don't even want to say the year because it makes me feel really old. But let's just say it was very Mad Men-esque. Okay, so if you've seen the show Mad Men, that wasn't so far off. That was sort of the way it was. But I really loved the industry and the creativity, and I loved the blend of right and left brain thinking and using creativity to solve business problems. And that was just a really great challenge. And as I moved up in the organization and moved to New York and worked at bigger agencies, and then I started to run agencies, then you start to develop leadership skills. I'm building teams. You want to figure out how to make those teams perform the best of each person's ability that you can, and how they can work together really well. So for me, that was a really interesting, it's almost like an experiment, right? You're putting together humanity with very different goals and dreams and aspirations and flaws and all sorts of things. And you're trying to kind of bring the best out of everybody. So I really enjoyed that. But I worked in advertising a long time, as I mentioned, and there was a point when I kind of hit the ceiling. It was 2018, and I had been running a very large agency that was it was actually the oldest advertising agency of the world at the time. It was like 153 years old, J. Walter Thompson. And I was running the headquarters office in New York, and I just was feeling unfulfilled. I was doing a lot of administrative and operational tasks, and I really wasn't doing what I loved way back in the day when I got in the business, which was using my brain power to solve business problems, right? So I decided, you know what? I'm not getting any younger. It's time that I leave and I do something for myself. I'm going to take all this knowledge that I've been imparting on my clients and I'm going to apply it to my own business. And I actually started doing some brand consulting, but then the universe intervened and I was introduced to my business partner, James, through my husband, actually. And James had been working on hair care formulations for about 10 years. And I thought to myself, this guy's nuts. Like, who does that, right? He's crazy. But he had found a really great chemist in Chicago. He was working on these formulations and he kind of got to the point where he hit a wall. He didn't know what to do. He's not a business guy or a strategist. So he wasn't sure where to take them. And I've done so much beauty in my career. I mean, I've had such a fortunate opportunity to work on like Clinique and L'Oreal and Nexxus and great brands. Now in hindsight though, they all have toxic ingredients in them, which is why ours don't. Cause now, I mean, at the time nobody talked about clean beauty and everything had sulfates and parabens and phthalates and all that. So anyway, I wish I knew then what I know now, right?
But you know, that's always the learning phase, right?
It's always the learning. I really do. But anyway, that was the way it was. So I tried James's formulas and they were excellent. And we decided to partner together. And then we took about a year and a half to actually create the brand. So the name is Masami, which means truly beautiful in Japanese, but it's also named after James's husband, whose name is Masa. And James's husband, Masa, comes from this little tiny town in Japan, in Northeast Japan, called Atsuchi. By the way, it's gorgeous. I got to go there pre-COVID, luckily, and I met his family. And it was just really a really special opportunity and beautiful, beautiful place. But they got hit by the tsunami back in 2011 badly. And that tsunami really flattened a lot of that town, and it's still not recovered fully. And it's now, 10 years later, and they're still rebuilding. And now look at the weather. We were just talking before we started recording about the crazy weather. It's like there's stuff happening all around us. So I just think we have to be so on top of the environment and so, what's the word I'm looking for? Vigilant about, our responsibility as humans on this planet. And that's part of what we're bringing to our brand is sort of a deeper level of conscious beauty and sustainability. So we're carbon neutral, we're plastic neutral. We give back funding, part of our proceeds to help support ocean research in Japan, because that's where we get our main ingredient. Oh, so I didn't finish telling the story, but Masa introduced us to Makabu, which is the seaweed that's in our product. So that's the connection. Okay. So it comes from Japan. It comes from his little small town and gets shipped to Chicago, gets put in our product. And that's the magic. That's the secret sauce. So that's what makes your hair really hydrated, but without the weight. And also just makes it, natural goodness. So, we don't have to have the sulfates or the parabens or the phthalates in there. So that's kind of what the company is all about. We launched in February 2020. It's been that long already. We launched at New York Fashion Week, actually, at two shows, which was crazy to think back, because if you've ever been to a show at New York Fashion Week, they're in these little spaces in New York, right? That are usually sold and everybody's packed in. And this was only a few weeks before the COVID lockdown happened. So it was one of our last social interactions in New York City was our launch. And then everything went on lockdown and, the salons that we'd been talking to had to close. And so it was an interesting year, for lots of reasons, obviously, but certainly to launch a business, it was kind of definitely a learning curve.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing such interesting story with us, because of course we always want to know when we have our experts, when they come in, what got them to start, and you know, the whole learning, that experience that they had to go, their like you said, the failures and the successes, where they come from, you know. And then at the end there's always the when, you know, that I learned the term when, because we used to say when, but there's a third when into it, because we win is not just you or I, but it's all of us together, because what you do is producing something that others can use and they can really feel very comfortable having in their hair, you know, or the products that you have, just so when they use those hair care products that you have, they can feel like, oh my God, it's made for me, it's made for us, right? So I'm really loving that you give yourself and you devoted yourself with your associate, just to make sure that everything that is being done is done with the value, with the care, with the nurturing, but with the ingredients that we, you know, that will enrich others hair, you know. So thank you for that. For you to go into such a in-depth part of leadership, you know, leading others, helping others' company to grow, others to be at a state where whatever they are bringing themselves, you know, it can be empowering and it can empower themselves as well. So empowered. When you started that part of building others' brands, building other, you know, transforming others' brands, what was the excitement that came out for you? So others who are now working and doing the same thing can open their heart and not feel like, you know, it's a goal, you know, must do, but actually something to enjoy.
You know, I think there's a point in a lot of people's career, not everybody's, but a lot of people's career, where you shift the focus from yourself wanting to be the person who's getting credit or taking charge to wanting to see your team get credit and take charge. You know what I mean? It's almost like you get to a point where you're confident enough in yourself that you don't need it. You don't need to be the one in the spotlight, and you'd rather see your team succeed and you want to see them doing well. And to me, that's like what good leaders do, is they empower their teams. And so I think for me, that was what I really loved about working on other businesses, is I would be able to put together these teams of people and really try to inspire them to elevate their game, you know, and really enjoy it in the process. So it was, and we really had, boy, I got to tell you, like, there was a good decade where it was just fun. Like really fun, you know, and work was not a chore, and you just really loved what you're doing. And for our clients, seeing the success of our ideas. So, you know, you creative and advertising is such an amorphous industry, because it's all in your brain, right? It's like you have ideas, and then they somehow make it onto a page, and then they somehow make it into a film, and then they somehow get out in the real world. And the cool thing of that is you can sort of see that journey and go, wow, we did that. Do you know what I mean? And then it drove the business, and you can really measure it, and you can see like, wow, that really helped this client. So the thing that I was always, careful about is, you know, in a perfect world, you want to work with clients who have ideals like yours and values like yours, and that are doing good in the world. And, you know, because you're building their business.
Right.
No, you know, you don't want to work on somebody's business if they're not a good company. You know what I mean? If they're toxic culture and have, but I have worked on some of those, you know, throughout the years. It's inevitable that you run into a client or a business where you really question, like, I'm really helping them grow their business, but to what end? You know, like I said earlier, there were a lot of brands I worked on in beauty that are not clean brands, but at the time, in all fairness to them, no one was talking about that. It wasn't a thing. Right. Now I would have a hard time working on it, knowing that they're putting products that have toxins in the, you know, and they're putting those products in the market, or they're doing things that are not sustainable when they could be doing it a different way. Because these companies typically have the capital, the resources, the, you know what I mean? They can change it if they want. It's much in a way, it's much harder for me. I don't have the money. We're bootstrapped. We're, you know what I mean? But we're still doing things the right way because we feel we have to. And I see this happening in beauty where it's the small companies that are the ones that are making the changes that are hopefully going to push the industry forward. But the big companies, if they wanted to, they could snap their fingers and boom, you know what I mean? Like they could make changes really in a meaningful way and eliminate a lot of our plastic and eliminate our single use and eliminate just a lot of those problems. But anyway, I'm just, I'm venting.
Well, I love that. It's always good because they need to hear it, you know? And I think that's a good thing because the way you just said it, it makes perfect sense. If we know that there are many chemicals that could really destroy others' hair, or it could be a skincare, whatever it is that they're working on, and you're not really putting all the money that you already have, you know, that you can invest on, you're not really putting it into the care and showing others how much of empathy that you have for them and, you know, caring and loving, then what do you want? You know, what should people do? Do you expect people to continue buying your brand? They may not want to if they start paying attention to those details. And that's when, you know, companies like yours come in, because you come in with the education behind it all. Because you are teaching these, you know, others, like people like me, hey, this is what you're putting in your hair and it's damaging your hair. This is what you're putting on your skin and it's damaging your skin. So would you rather have, you know, your skin damage or your hair falling apart? Or would you prefer to have something that will help your hair stay full and, you know, very soft and you know it, you know? And of course, people would say yes.
Yes. Well, I think what's happened, I think people have gotten smarter for sure, because even over COVID, people are more tuned into what they're putting in and on their bodies, I feel like, right? Mm-hmm. Just because, like, when you start to realize, like, some of the things that are in products, it's not just that they're damaging or your hair will be dry or your scalp will be irritated. It's that they can actually cause disease, cancer, and they can be endocrine disruptors, and they can really screw up your whole system, and they can create wreak havoc with allergies, with all sorts of things. And I know people personally who had really debilitating health issues, and it was only after years of going to doctors and experimenting and testing that they found out it was their beauty products that were doing it to them. So it's just, that's what, you know, it's, and then, okay, there's your health as a human, but then there's all the stuff that gets put in our water and washed away that is going into our ground that, you know what I mean? Right. There's all that part of the environmental side of it too. So I do think that consumers are savvier. They're asking the right questions, just like you're asking, and they're not willing to put up with products that are not going to work for them anymore, right?
I love that. Love that. Good afternoon, good night, good day, wherever you are. This is Unleashed Unapologetically with your coach, Nadege. And yes, this evening we have the beautiful Lynn Power with us. She is going to tell us many things that we need to know in our business life. But before we go in, you know, we are here to help you relocate, repurpose, and refocus your mindset. Of course, you want to reset, relocate, and refocus your mindset in order for you to build your confidence. As your confidence coach and your personal development coach, I am here to help you do that without burnout. So we are here to talk to you about ways that you could grow into your business, into your brand, and transform yourself. And who knows best about it but Lynn, right? She'll tell you everything, anything you need to know when you are transforming your organization. So let's just go over a bit of what she does and why she does it. She loves success. She loves to talk about success, and she's going to tell you about that as well. But the starter, it didn't start that way. We all know that in life, whatever we do, for us to be successful where we are, we had to start at some point. So she spent much more of her time, 30 years in her career, running a transforming agency, actually, their brands. And she actually is an expert in transforming organizations from top to bottom. Whew. Why not? Especially in leadership, right, Lynn? We know how important that is. And we know that when we're trying to structure an organization, we need to start from the bottom, from the top to the bottom. And if the top is not settled and it's not structured, it can help the bottom to just go flat, right? So she is going to tell you all about that. She's going to tell you why she really like and respect the nurture of building ideas, and also understanding that anything we do, we can always eliminate any barriers, any obstacles that come our way, as long as we believe in what we do. So Lynn, I'm a talker, but I'm gonna let you talk just so you can really tell us all about your organization, your company, Masami, and tell us what got you to start the whole company, Masami. So welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm great. Thank you. And that was just such a lovely introduction. I just have to give you big kudos and props for that, because you called me beautiful like in the first minute. And I was like, thank you. That's lovely.
Absolutely.
So I will share a little bit about our journey and certainly lessons learned along the way. Most important, right, of what people want to hear, because I have many, many, many lessons. Certainly failures to learn from and successes, hopefully, to continue. So mm-hmm. I spent my long career, 30 years, in the advertising industry. And when I started, it was, oh gosh, I don't even want to say the year because it makes me feel really old. But let's just say it was very Mad Men-esque. Okay, so if you've seen the show Mad Men, that wasn't so far off. That was sort of the way it was. But I really loved the industry and the creativity, and I loved the blend of right and left brain thinking and using creativity to solve business problems. And that was just a really great challenge. And as I moved up in the organization and moved to New York and worked at bigger agencies, and then I started to run agencies, then you start to develop leadership skills. I'm building teams. You want to figure out how to make those teams perform the best of each person's ability that you can, and how they can work together really well. So for me, that was a really interesting, it's almost like an experiment, right? You're putting together humanity with very different goals and dreams and aspirations and flaws and all sorts of things. And you're trying to kind of bring the best out of everybody. So I really enjoyed that. But I worked in advertising a long time, as I mentioned, and there was a point when I kind of hit the ceiling. It was 2018, and I had been running a very large agency that was it was actually the oldest advertising agency of the world at the time. It was like 153 years old, J. Walter Thompson. And I was running the headquarters office in New York, and I just was feeling unfulfilled. I was doing a lot of administrative and operational tasks, and I really wasn't doing what I loved way back in the day when I got in the business, which was using my brain power to solve business problems, right? So I decided, you know what? I'm not getting any younger. It's time that I leave and I do something for myself. I'm going to take all this knowledge that I've been imparting on my clients, and I'm going to apply it to my own business. And I actually started doing some brand consulting, but then the universe intervened and I was introduced to my business partner, James, through my husband, actually. And James had been working on hair care formulations for about 10 years. And I thought to myself, this guy's nuts. Like, who does that, right? He's crazy. but he had found a really great chemist in Chicago. He was working on these formulations and he kind of got to the point where he hit a wall. He didn't know what to do. He's not a business guy or a strategist. So he wasn't sure where to take them. And I've done so much beauty in my career. I mean, I've had such a fortunate opportunity to work on like Clinique and L'Oreal and Nexxus and great brands. Now in hindsight though, they all have toxic ingredients in them, which is why ours don't. Cause now, I mean, at the time nobody talked about clean beauty and everything had sulfates and parabens and phthalates and all that. So anyway, I wish I knew then what I know now, right?
But you know, that's always the learning phase, right?
It's always the learning. I really do. But anyway, that was the way it was. So I tried James's formulas and they were excellent. And we decided to partner together. And then we took about a year and a half to actually create the brand. So the name is Masami, which means truly beautiful in Japanese, but it's also named after James's husband, whose name is Masa. And James's husband Masa comes from this little tiny town in Japan, in Northeast Japan, called Atsuchi. By the way, it's gorgeous. I got to go there pre-COVID, luckily, and I met his family. And it was just really a really special opportunity and beautiful, beautiful place. But they got hit by the tsunami back in 2011 badly. And that tsunami really flattened a lot of that town. And it's still not recovered fully. And it's now, 10 years later, and they're still rebuilding. And now look at the weather. We were just talking before we started recording about the crazy weather. There's stuff happening all around us. So I just think we have to be so on top of the environment and so, what's the word I'm looking for? Vigilant about, our responsibility as humans on this planet. And that's part of what we're bringing to our brand is sort of a deeper level of conscious beauty and sustainability. So we're carbon neutral, we're plastic neutral. We give back funding, part of our proceeds to help support ocean research in Japan, because that's where we get our main ingredient. Oh, so I didn't finish telling the story, but Masa introduced us to Makabu, which is the seaweed that's in our product. So that's the connection. Okay. So it comes from Japan, it comes from his little small town, and gets shipped to Chicago, gets put in our product, and that's the magic. That's the secret sauce. So that's what makes your hair really hydrated, but without the weight. And also just makes it, natural goodness. So, we don't have to have the sulfates or the parabens or the phthalates in there. So that's kind of what the company is all about. We launched in February 2020. It's been that long already. We launched at New York Fashion Week, actually, at two shows, which was crazy to think back, because if you've ever been to a show at New York Fashion Week, they're in these little spaces in New York, right? That are usually sold and everybody's packed in. And this was only a few weeks before the COVID lockdown happened. So it was one of our last social interactions in New York City was our launch. And then everything went on lockdown, and the salons that we'd been talking to had to close, and so it was an interesting year, for lots of reasons, obviously, but certainly to launch a business, it was kind of definitely a learning curve.
Well, thank you so much for sharing such interesting story with us, because of course we always want to know, when we have our experts, when they come in, what got them to start, and the whole learning, that experience that they had to go there, like you said, the failures and the successes, where they come from, and then at the end there's always the win-win-win, that I learned the term win-win, because we used to say win-win, but there's a third win into it, because we win is not just you or I, but it's all of us together, because what you do is producing something that others can use and they can really feel very comfortable having in their hair, or the products that you have, just so when they use those hair care products that you have, they can feel like, oh my God, it's made for me. It's made for us, right? So I'm really loving that you give yourself and you devoted yourself with your associate just to make sure that everything that is being done is done with the value, with the care, with the nurturing, but with the ingredients that we, you know, that will enrich others' hair, you know? So thank you for that. For you to go into such a in-depth part of leadership, you know, leading others, helping others' company to grow, others to be at a state where whatever they are branding themselves, you know, it can be empowering and it can empower themselves as well. So empowered. When you started that part of building others' brands, building other, you know, transforming others' brands, what was the excitement that came out for you? So others who are now working and doing the same thing can open their heart and not feel like, you know, it's a go, you know, must do, but actually something to enjoy.
You know, I think there's a point in a lot of people's career, not everybody's, but a lot of people's career, where you shift the focus from yourself wanting to be the person who's getting credit or taking charge to wanting to see your team get credit and take charge. You know what I mean? It's almost like you get to a point where you're confident enough in yourself that you don't need it. You don't need to be the one in the spotlight, and you'd rather see your team succeed and you want to see them doing well. And to me, that's like what good leaders do, is they empower their teams. And so I think for me, that was what I really loved about working on other businesses, is I would be able to put together these teams of people and really try to inspire them to elevate their game, you know, and really enjoy it in the process. So it was, and we really had, boy, I got to tell you, like, there was a good decade where it was just fun. Like really fun, you know, and work was not a chore, and you just really loved what you're doing. And for our clients, seeing the success of our ideas. So, you know, you creative and advertising is such an amorphous industry because it's all in your brain, right? It's like you have ideas and then they somehow make it onto a page and then they somehow make it into a film and then they somehow get out in the real world. And the cool thing of that is you can sort of see that journey and go, wow, we did that. Do you know what I mean? And then it drove the business, and you can really measure it, and you can see like, wow, that really helped this client. So the thing that I was always, careful about is, you know, in a perfect world, you want to work with clients who have ideals like yours and values like yours, and that are doing good in the world. And, you know, because you're building their business.
Right.
No, you know, you don't want to work on somebody's business if they're not a good company. You know what I mean? If they're toxic culture and have, but I have worked on some of those, you know, throughout the years. It's inevitable that you run into a client or a business where you really question, like, I'm really helping them grow their business, but to what end? You know, like I said earlier, there were a lot of brands I worked on in beauty that are not clean brands, but at the time, in all fairness to them, no one was talking about that. It wasn't a thing. Right. Now I would have a hard time working on it, knowing that they're putting products that have toxins in the, you know, and they're putting those products in the market, or they're doing things that are not sustainable when they could be doing it a different way. Because these companies typically have the capital, the resources, the, you know what I mean? They can change it if they want. It's much, In a way, it's much harder for me. I don't have the money. We're bootstrapped. We're, you know what I mean? But we're still doing things the right way because we feel we have to. And I see this happening in beauty, where it's the small companies that are the ones that are making the changes that are hopefully going to push the industry forward. But the big companies, if they wanted to, they could snap their fingers and boom, you know what I mean? Like, they could make changes really in a meaningful way. And eliminate a lot of our plastic and eliminate our single use and eliminate just a lot of those problems. But anyway, I'm venting.
Well, I love that, it's always good because they need to hear it, you know. They, and I think that, that's a good thing, because when you, the way you just said it, it makes perfect sense. If we know that there are many chemicals that could really destroy others' hair, or it could be a skincare, whatever it is that they're working on, and you're not really putting all the money that you already have, you know, that you can invest on, you're not really putting it into the care and showing others how much of empathy that you have for them, and, you know, caring and loving, then what do you want? You know, what should people do? Into, do you expect people to buy, continue buying your brand? They may not want to if they start paying attention to those details. And that's when, you know, companies like yours come in, because you come in with the education behind it all. Because you are teaching these, you know, others, like people like me, hey, this is what you're putting in your hair and it's damaging your hair. This is what you're putting on your skin and it's damaging your skin. So would you rather have, you know, your skin damaged or your hair falling apart? Or would you prefer to have something that will help your hair stay full and, you know, very soft and you know it, you know? And of course, people would say yes.
Yes. Well, I think what's happened, I think people have gotten smarter for sure, because even over COVID, people are more tuned into what they're putting in and on their bodies, I feel like, right? Mm-hmm. Just because, like, when you start to realize, like, some of the things that are in products, it's not just that they're damaging or your hair will be dry or your scalp will be irritated. It's that they can actually cause disease, cancer, and they can be endocrine disruptors, and they can really screw up your whole system, and they can create wreak havoc with allergies, with all sorts of things. And I know people personally who had really debilitating health issues, and it was only after years of going to doctors and experimenting and testing that they found out it was their beauty products that were doing it to them. So it's just, that's what, you know, it's, and then, okay, there's your health as a human, but then there's all the stuff that gets put in our water and washed away that is going into our ground, that, you know what I mean? Right. There's all that part of the environmental side of it too. So I do think that's, that consumers are savvier. They're asking the right questions, just like you're asking, and they're not willing to put up with products that are not going to work for them anymore, right?
Mm-hmm. I love that.